Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. God can only be approached through the right mediator, and that mediator is Jesus Christ. Today, final thoughts on the lie that we can come to God in any way we want. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. We're in a series on 10 lies about God and why you might already be deceived. Erwin Lutzer is talking about lie number one, that many paths lead into God's presence. And today he tells why he's glad he's with him.
A number of years ago, I was in Washington, D.C. with our two oldest daughters, and I was speaking at a retreat. And at the retreat, there was a Secret Service agent who said to me, "Would you like to see the Oval Office tomorrow?" Tomorrow was Monday. It was a holiday. And President Bush, at that time, he was the president, was out of town, and he said, "I can show you the Oval Office." Well, here I am, you know, a farm boy from Canada, thinking to myself, I'll never have an opportunity like that. I often thought, you know, it'd be wonderful. You see it on TV, you see pictures, but it'd be wonderful to say, this is the Oval Office. So I didn't even pray about it. I just said, I'll meet you. Just tell me the time and I'll be there. So we show up at the White House and he is there. And we begin going through the guard stations to get to the Oval Office. I remember the first station, it's the one that's at the gate at the White House there, and our umbrellas set off the metal detectors. But you know that the guards scarcely looked at us. My daughter offered to open her purse so he could check it. He said, "No, I don't want to check it." He said, "You're with him. Go ahead." We came to the next guard station. They looked at the Secret Service agent. They didn't know who we were. I could have been a criminal, as far as they were concerned. But they looked at him and they said, "You're with him? Go ahead. You're with him? Go ahead." And now we were in the hallway, and I could already see the door of the Oval Office. I could see it partially. And there's one more guard sitting right there at the door. And I wondered, is he going to turn us away? But he came and he looked at the Secret Service agent and he waved us on by. "You're with him? Go ahead." In my mind's eye, if I may use my imagination and yours, let us suppose that all who are members and friends of Moody Church, what if we all died at the same time? And suddenly we find ourselves now on the other side of death, and we look around, and who do we have? Well, we have people, perhaps some women who at one time were prostitutes before they believed on Jesus, women who've had abortions, who struggled with all kinds of guilt as a result of it. We have people who were into the homosexual lifestyle before they believed on Jesus. We've got criminals. We've got people who were guilty of thievery, people who spent time in prison. And then we've got a whole bunch of really scrubbed up people who haven't done any of those things. But if you knew their thought life, you'd know that they were just as guilty as the rest. So we're all there. And Jesus comes and stands among us. Then I can imagine as we're on our way to the holy city that angels are like guard posts along the way. And we come to the first one. And they look at us and then they say, "You're with him? Go on through." Then we come to another one and they say, "You're with him? Go on through. You're with him? Go on through." And then we can begin to see the glory of God. We're actually so close now that the God who dwells in unapproachable light, oh, this is it now, unveiled. You see, everything that God has in the Bible is veiled. But now, this is the glory of God unveiled in blazing light and holiness. And then we have a flashback. And we think of our sins and how miserably we lived and how we failed God and all the depths of our iniquity. It all comes awash on us and we say, we can't go any further. We just can't. We can't. The angel says, you're with him. Go on in. My dear friend, don't you ever think it doesn't matter how you approach God. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, that's the way you go. You have the right mediator. You have the right sacrifice. And the only reason we are admitted is because we're not going alone. We're with him. Have you ever accepted this Christ as your Savior? Do you understand now why it's utter foolishness and stupidity to think that you can just get there however you wish, whatever religion, whatever you believe? Not this God. We need to go the right way. No man gets to the Father but by me.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer has concluded lie number one, that many paths lead into God's presence. The first in a series on 10 lies about God and why you might already be deceived. To help us recap what we've just heard, Dr. Lutzer joins me in the studio. Dr. Lutzer, most people expect sermons that make them feel good. I think this sermon, and perhaps this entire series, is more of a wake-up call than a pat on the back. What are you trying to do in these 10 messages?
I would like to have all of us rethink our idea of God and recapture the idea of a biblical God. I know that I deal with some very controversial issues in this series, and many of them are issues that we as evangelicals don't want to talk about, and we'll be talking about them and preaching about them. But what I want to do is to help people see that God is God, and that any human conception of him, if it is a human conception, falls short. Karl Barth, the great theologian, said that there are two ways for us to understand God. One way is to try to construct an idea of him from the bottom up, beginning with man and reasoning up. The other way is to accept revelation. What I do in this series of messages is I show the error of beginning from the bottom up and saying that we have to accept what the Word of God says, difficult though it is. And of course, the great passion is that at the end of the day, we will worship better, we will love better, and we'll serve better.
Well, I, for one, just one listener, have to say that I've never heard anything as compelling and convicting in my life as these 10 messages.
Well, Dave, I'm surprised to hear you say that, but also glad to hear you say it.
Well, I feel that a lot of us as believers have distortions in our understanding of who God is that we've inherited perhaps from our experience and our backgrounds and our preconceptions. And what you're teaching during this series and yet in the days to come on the broadcast is going to simply blow the cobwebs out of people's minds about who God really is. We'll find out that our idea of fairness cannot be applied to God's actions.
That's right.
And I think that as we go on, our listeners will find themselves drawn in to a whole new understanding of the character and person of God. You said that the word God today is a canvas upon which every person is invited to paint his own picture. How did we get here from the days when there was a general consensus that God was who he said he was?
Well, I think that in days past, people basically did accept the Bible. And now what you have is people constructing their own idea of God, born out of the fabric of their own experience. You have everybody running around saying, I think that God is like this. And actually, it's their own thoughts. And so they speak about God, but they are hearing the echo of their own voice. And that's why I think we are somewhat deceived, often deceived, because of our conceptions of God.
Now, we're talking about the lie that many paths lead into God's presence. And you've made the point that we must come to God the right way, the one way. Now, why is there just one way?
Let me say this, Dave, that there are two errors we have to avoid. The first is to come to the wrong God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. But the second is to come to the right God in the wrong way. Just ask Nadab and Abihu. They were the ones who were struck down by God. You also have people like Cain, who came to the right God, but he brought the wrong offering and came in the wrong way and was rejected. Let us remember that God is holy. Let us also remember that it is he who has prescribed the way in which we should come into his presence. So it's not up to us to say, well, I'm going to come this way, or I'm going to come just as I am. Yes, we come just as we are, but we come to Christ, we come to receive, we come God's way, because apart from that, we will be excluded and rejected.
You actually said, and you made quite the point in the sermon you just finished, we can never, 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 I believe you said it seven times, we can never come to God on our own because we cannot do it directly.
That's right. All entrances into God's presence on our part have to be mediated. There has to be something that comes between us and God. And thankfully, there is one mediator between us and God, and that is the man Christ Jesus. So even when I pray and say, oh God, I may say, oh God, and God hears me and God responds, as a believer, I know that I'm able to do that because of Christ. You come through that new and living way which he has made for us.
In our sermon just finished, you spoke of there being no fear of God today. Is God to be actually feared?
Exactly. And I think, you know, the whole idea that says that it is reverence, it isn't actually fear, I don't know where people get that from. Now, of course, we should revere him. And I don't mean that we should have fear in the sense that we cower in his presence. But fear of disobedience? I think so. But you don't find that today, because people think that God comes along and blesses their every craving desire. God is whoever they want him to be. And we'll be dealing with that in another context, but that is the great error of our time.
You know, you spoke of how Martin Luther trembled when he said his first Mass, feeling unworthy to even raise his hands to the divine majesty. Now it seems many Christians treat God as if he were there to fulfill their dreams and cram their pocketbooks with money.
Exactly, and that's a wonderful, I don't know how to put it any better than you just have. I mean, the whole idea of Luther being afraid of being struck down by God because he'd make a mistake giving his first Mass is unthinkable to today's generation. It falls on strange ears. What do you mean we should have that fear? So people think of God as being within them, think of God as being accepting of them, and that is not the biblical God.
Thankfully, through the right mediator, the right sacrifice, and with the right attitude, we can draw near to the most holy place through the blood of Christ.
And let's keep in mind that the reason we have to go through Christ, sure, there are other great teachers in the world, but Christ alone is able to give us the righteousness by which God can be approached. Christ alone, the shed blood, is the basis upon which we can come. So let us come. Let us come joyfully. Let us come enthusiastically. Let us come with worship. But let us come in the right way.
Running to Win is all about helping you find God's roadmap for your race of life. Since many believe man evolved, so they think God has evolved. No longer mean, he's now a gentler, kinder God. That's lie number two in our series about God. Tune in next time for all the details. 10 Lies About God can be yours as a CD series sent as our way of saying thanks for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.